Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Joshua chapter 10, we read these same verses 24 through 26 last week, Wednesday night, and we'll read them again this evening. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And we were talking about last week, and I want to continue on with it this week, things that must be conquered, things that must be conquered. Amen. Let's pray again that the Lord would have his way here tonight and anoint us in this service. Jesus, we look to you again, the author and the finisher of our faith. We know, God, that you are able to anoint and to bless in this service this evening, praying that you would have your way on each and every heart. Let every person, their soul be fed tonight. We thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's clap our hands to him as we praise him again. Praise God. Amen and amen. You can be seated. As we stated last week, the book of Joshua, and especially through these first several chapters, is where the people of God are possessing the promises of God, the promised land. And I think it's very clear as you read this, and in particular how it is applicable to us, in order for us to possess the promises of God and the blessings of God in our life, it's important that we personally be prepared for them. And really the only way that we can receive, and not only receive but retain, the promises of God in our life is for us to personally be prepared. And that is a process that takes place, and God uses sometimes different things to help us with that and to help us to get certain things out of our heart and out of our spirit, so that we can receive his blessings and his promise. A lot of times we think, why this pain? Why this situation? Why this storm? Why this trial? Or why am I being challenged in this way? But God is working on us through that. Nothing catches God off guard. God is preemptive. God works ahead. God works upstream. God is moving in situations before we ever get to that point. If we're a child of God, we have to believe that things don't happen to us by accident, but there is a purpose behind it. Amen. We may not always understand it, may not always be clear to us, it may be foggy at the time, but if we'll keep the faith and continue to walk with God, it'll all become clear to us in the end. Maybe some things we won't even fully understand until we get to glory, till we get on the other side, and everything then is put in perspective. And so I think it's important for us to realize that that is a part of the process of living for God. And here in chapter 10, these five kings are withstanding Joshua and the people of God. And though this is the promised land, there was still, as I said last week, there was still opposition. There were still those that came and opposed their progress as they were possessing the land. And these five kings were part of that. And when they saw that the battle was going against them, they ran and hid in a cave, or in caves. And at the time, while the battle was going on, at least this is my understanding of it, Joshua put maybe a stone or something over the mouths of those caves so that they would be sure to not be able to get out or escape. And he said, we'll deal with this later. And then when the battle was finished and they had won the battle, he went back and finished the job. And as I pointed out last week, it's very important that we not just leave things hoping that they'll go away or they'll just, in this case, die on their own. But we go back and deal with it in a timely manner. And a lot of times God gives us an opportunity to deal with something so that it doesn't become a situation to us where we're caught unawares. Amen. There's times that God pinpoints things in our lives and convicts us of things and deals with us in areas and gives us opportunity to get victory over it. And it's important that we take that opportunity and not just shrug it off because we may not have the strength, the power within to be able to overcome that at a later time, or it may catch us at a weaker moment or a time that we're unaware. So God in His wisdom knows how to help us if we'll follow the Spirit and we'll do what He asks us to do. When He asks us to do it, we can walk in victory. We can have an overcoming life. And so they went back and brought these men out of the caves, these five kings. And I told you how that he commissioned his men to put their feet on the necks of these men. He was not a leader that just was interested in himself receiving the accolades or the victory, but he wanted all of his people to be involved. He wanted them to share in the victory. And we talked about how important it was that we all share victories together. When we have a victory in this church, Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep that with them that weep. And we ought to be excited about other people being blessed. And we ought to get with other folks when God anoints them and helps them and uses them. We ought to be excited for them and thrilled for them and enthusiastic about it. And understand that we're all on the same team here. Can you say praise the Lord? And so they put their feet on the necks of these enemies. And then he said a few words of encouragement to them that almost seems like they're redundant. He said, be not dismayed, or fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So he said, this, what I've done for you here, I want to do for you in the future. And this is going to be something that you're going to be able to look back at and find courage and strength and faith as you go forward in possessing this land of promise. You're going to be able to fight new enemies and face new challenges and know that I'm going to be with you because of what I have done for you here and the promise that I'm giving to you here. And this is Joshua speaking to the people on the behalf of the Lord. So we understand that our battles and our fights and our challenges spiritually, God wants us to be able to always hold on to those victories and be able to look back to them and find courage for whatever presently that we're faced with or whatever opposition that may be currently in our life. And I told you that he said, nor be dismayed, and dismayed literally means don't fall apart. So when a new challenge comes up against you, I want you to remember this day that God gave you the victory over these five kings, and don't fall apart, because if you'll keep the faith, God's going to help you with that too. Oh, praise the Lord. And so we begin to talk about these five kings and relate them to our five senses, and how that we sometimes, our five senses can be a rival to our faith or contradictory to our faith. And the first one that we, of course, dealt with may seem an unusual parallel, but we dealt with the sense of smell and how that the children, the three Hebrew children, went into the fiery furnace, and when they came out, that they had no smell or residue of the smoke upon them after they had went through that trial. That trial didn't remain on them. And how much of a challenge it is for you and I, but important for us to be able to do so, to walk through the trials and the challenges of life and not have the residue of that and the damage of that, something that we retain and that we rehearse for the rest of our lives. And I talked about how that some people, they want to, that's all they want to talk about is the time back in 1974 when the devil attacked them, or this, they lost this, or that didn't go so well for them. And they talk about those things and rehearse those things, and really it hinders them in going on into the future and obtaining greater blessings and greater things in God. And how important it is that we be able to walk through the fire and not only not be burnt, but not have the residue of that upon our lives, but we have a testimony that God brings us out and we rejoice over it instead of bemoaning it all the time. Amen. Because the fact is that sometimes God delivers us from the fire that we don't even have to go through it, and then there is times when he makes us fireproof. Can you say praise the Lord? So we have to honor whatever God chooses. We don't have the, it's not multiple choice. We don't get a decision all the time in the matter what life is going to throw at us. We just have to trust in God that he knows what's best for us, and we're going to make it through. Praise the Lord. And so moving on, I want to go on from that and deal with some other things here and talk to you about a second thing that can often affect our faith, and that is how we feel. How we feel. If we're not careful, we'll let feelings instead of faith dictate how we live for God. We'll let emotions and everything that goes along with that dictate how we live for God and how we respond to life and spiritual things and maybe even spiritual attacks of the enemy that are unavoidable if you live for God and serve the Lord. And as I explained last week, just because you're part of the church and just because you live for God doesn't mean you're exempt from any struggles or any problems or any trials. And a lot of people attribute trials to there must be something wrong with me or my walk with God or I wouldn't have this. No, it may be just the other way around. If you would realize the fact that the devil doesn't fight against people that he's already got and that he's pleased with what they're doing, but he opposes those that are taking territory away from him. He opposes those that are living for God and that are serving the Lord. He wants to do all that he can to stop that and to hinder that. So it may be that opposition in your life is not a sign that you're out of the will of God. It may be a sign that you're directly in the will of God and just need to continue on and be faithful. Praise the Lord. And so we cannot allow feelings and emotions to inhibit us in our relationship with God. One of the areas that this is probably most noticed or manifest, displayed, is in our worship. I don't know why it is, but we all, every one of us have, because we're human beings, we're alike in that way. Every one of us are human beings. And so every one of us face this challenge, whether we recognize it or not, and that is in our worship, there's times in our flesh that we all have the propensity when problems arise to not feel like that we can praise God or not feel liberty to worship the Lord like we need to. When in actuality, that's what we need to do more than ever before, is press on through and worship God, because worship brings us into the presence of the Lord. And when we get in the presence of the Lord, it's through being in His presence that we're going to find the answers that we need, the strength that we need, the help that we need. So what better way for us to be inhibited further than the devil to stop us from praising God? Gets us discouraged about something, gets us focused on something that's going wrong in our life, and we fail to worship the Lord. And so that's where he understands that I could keep them out of the presence of God if they never praise the Lord, if they never worship the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter where you're at or what you're going through, when you praise God, you can get in His presence. Because the Bible talks about in Acts 16 about Paul and Silas in the inner prison. They praised God and they got in His presence no matter how dark it was, no matter how rough the conditions were, no matter how bad they had been beaten, they could still get in the presence of the Lord. John on the Isle of Patmos. Bible said he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Don't matter where you're at. If you'll praise God, doesn't matter if it's in the prison or on Patmos, you can still get in the presence of the Lord. So don't ever let the devil convince you that you're too beat up, you're too bogged down with problems and burdened by the cares of life to praise the Lord. That's a lie and a tactic that the devil uses to keep people from getting into the presence of the Lord so that they might receive strength and help and their needs can be met. Praise the Lord. So that's the tactic, but often that is, unfortunately, the barometer of a lot of people's how it's going in their relationship with God is, I mean, you know, you can look and see and observe. Well, they're worshiping. They must be on top of it tonight. Must be feeling pretty good about things right now. I guess the job's going good. I guess home life's good. I guess they got all the bills paid. I assume that health is good and things are going pretty good. Because, man, they got the dance tonight. They got the shout on tonight. They're praising God with all their heart tonight. And we need to praise God. The Bible said of David that he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. So we need to praise Him in the good times too. I'm certainly not, we need to praise Him that we have good times. And I'm kind of the opinion if things are going good, I want to ride that momentum. So I'm certainly not going to stop praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord in the good times. But what about that one that comes in and they got their smiles turned upside down and they're dragging a little bit and you can tell it? Praise God. I'm going to tell you one of the virtues of a true, mature Christian is consistency. If you can develop consistency in your walk with God, and this is one thing we need to hammer on around here, is consistency in your walk with God. Amen. Sometimes you've got to get this flesh by the nape of the neck. Amen. Right back here is the nape of your neck. And say, you know what, old boy or old girl or whatever the case may be, I hate to say old girl, but you're going to the house of God tonight. And you're going to worship God tonight. And it's time to worship. And it's time to praise the Lord. Well, I got problems and it's not appropriate right now. Well, it's always appropriate to praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. And the devil, he is not omniscient. He doesn't know the secrets of your mind unless you tell him or he can observe by your behavior what's going on with you. So in faith, you ought to come to the house of God and you ought to at least Even if you're not feeling good, you ought to paste a smile on and say, I'm not going to give the devil this. I'm not going to let him think that I'm down. I'm not going to let him think. I'm not going to talk like I'm down, and I'm not going to act like I'm down, because I don't want him to get any victory out of this. I don't want him to feel like that he's winning, because he's not winning. I may be down a little bit in my spirit, but I am going to get back up. Amen. He's going to be sorry when I do that he ever attacked me in the first place. So some of us have learned how, even in the bad times, to go ahead and praise the Lord. Some of us have learned how, even in the rough spots, to go ahead and give him some worship and give him some adoration, amen, and give him some thanks, because we understand and we know the devil doesn't know unless I give it away. Amen. You see, sometimes all he has to do is look at some folks. I'm winning. I'm on, you know, if somebody, a sports analogy here, if a team recognizes a weakness, they're going to exploit that weakness. If a boxer notices that this eye is getting puffy, he's going to start working that over. Amen? If he notices a little drip of blood there, guess what? He just puts a target on that. Well, that's the same way the devil. He's not fair. He keeps coming back. He said, this must be working. Amen. Thing we got to do is not reveal that those things are affecting us. And I'm not saying be a fake, but I'm saying live in faith. Amen. And understand that, you know what? I'm a child of God. So this isn't going to last. God's going to help me. There's going to be a way of escape, the Bible says. He's not going to put on me more than I can bear. It may seem like it's crushing me right now, but he's not going to put on me more than I can bear. He's going to provide a way for me. He's going to make it work. So I'm just going to trust God. Praise the Lord. So you can't always trust your feelings. Your feelings will betray you sometimes. Amen? And the way things seem according to emotions and feelings and all of that, they're not foolproof. They'll fail you at times. A good example of that is in the Bible, where Jacob is dying, or rather Isaac is dying, and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, she wants Jacob to get that birthright, and she says, you go out. When Esau was sent by Isaac to go get venison, and the blessing was going to be given to him, she said, you go get one of the kids or the goats from the herd, bring it in here, and I'll prepare it in such a way he'll never know the difference. We'll take the skin of that, and we'll put it on your arms, because Esau was a hairy man, and because of the dimness of Isaac's eyes, he won't be able to tell the difference. And so we'll put those on your arms, and when you come in, he'll never know the difference in it, and you'll get the blessing. And so in Genesis 27:22, Jacob, or Isaac, makes the statement to Jacob. He said, the voice is that of Jacob's, but he said, the hands are the hands of Esau. Amen. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he went with his feelings instead of what he heard. Amen. Now, I know this is not a perfect analogy, but Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. You can always fall for whatever you feel and whatever's going on with you in your emotions. But you can always stand on the Word of God. Amen. And you can always trust in the Word of God. And the preaching of the Word of God, it's important to us in bolstering our faith and helping us. And I want to be a person, and I know that you do too, that listens for the voice of God. And that is able to hear. If I'm able to hear anything, I'm able to hear the voice of God. And above all the clutter and the noise and all the things that are going on in our world, I want to be able to hear the voice of God. And we're going to talk about hearing in a little bit, but I don't want to just be giving in to my feelings all the time. Praise the Lord. Giving in to my emotions all the time. You got to sometimes discipline yourself not to do that, not to give in to that. And we know that Simon Peter had a bad fishing experience in Luke chapter 5. And when he came in, they were ready to give up, quit. They'd been all night fishing, toiling, rowing the boat and wrestling with the nets. And now the Lord asked them, "Do you have any fish?" And they just explained to him, "It's been a bad night." And he tells them, "We'll launch out into the deep." And he tells them to cast their nets again. And it wasn't something that they wanted to do. But I notice a statement that Simon made. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." I don't feel like doing this right now. I don't feel like this is the thing that is the right thing to do at this time. Because, you know, after all, I'm the experienced fisherman. You're the teacher. You're the one that is. But I'm going to, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And when he did, the Bible said there was not only enough to fill that boat, but the boats that were around were also filled with a great drought of fish. I'm just telling you, when we obey the word of God and we respond appropriately to the word of God, regardless of feelings, it always pays out great dividends to us. It's always a blessing to our lives. Can you say amen? Can't go but what I feel. Can't always respond to how I feel or how the situation looks. And I've got to go by the word of the Lord. I can't be fooled by my emotions in a situation. I can't allow that to affect my faith in a negative way. You know, faith is something that has to be really guarded. Amen? Praise God. Tough bunch, I'll tell you. Faith has to be really guarded. Has to be protected. A person's individual faith. It takes a lot to get your faith to the point in your relationship with God. It's like anything else. It increases and through. The Bible tells us that there's different ways that our faith is increased. Through, we all receive a measure of faith, but how we increase it or it becomes stronger is, first of all, the Bible says, through the trial of our faith. And that really is opposition to it, just like resistance in the workout room. And when we have to exercise it against resistance, it builds it up and makes it stronger, right? So when you have the testimony that God saw me through that sickness and God took me through that trial and God helped me here, that strengthens your faith for the future. The other way is through praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said we build up our most holy faith through praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's something about our faith in connection to the Holy Ghost. When we get to that place in prayer that we're praying in the Holy Ghost, it's strengthening our faith. Don't ask me all the details of that and to go into all of the theology of that. I don't understand it. There's some spiritual things that we can't totally get our minds around, but that's the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says, that I can build up my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so that's something that if you've never reached that level of prayer and that place of intensity in prayer, something you ought to strive for. Amen. I think you ought to be renewed in the Holy Ghost from time to time anyway, pretty often, matter of fact, especially in this world that we're living in that has a way of depleting your experience, has a way of ebbing away from you over time. I mean, everything about our world is just about contrary to you and your relationship with God. It's certainly not an enhancement to it. But we can We can build up our most holy faith by praying and being renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost. And so it's important that we allow our faith to be strengthened and to be increased. And we understand that the only way that I can override certain feelings and not give in to certain feelings is when my faith is strong. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, little things that should not be a real issue become an issue to me. Amen. Let's just get out of the room we're really living. Amen. When you're not praying, you're not being renewed in the Holy Ghost, you can't rise above some things that are really just petty. They become big problems, big issues. Little deals become big deals. We turn molehills into mountains. Amen? And we make small things big things when we're not full of the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit, and our spirit is not right. The only way I can keep my spirit right is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. And so my faith has to be stronger than my feelings. Amen? I'm talking in a spiritual sense, of course. But I've got to pray and build up my faith so that I can even sometimes go against the grain of my feelings and emotions to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Because when I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, little things can become an irritant and cause me to react and respond in a way that's inappropriate. I may downright be unchristian. Amen? Now don't sit there like you're so pious and you don't even know where I'm at or what I'm talking about. You're on some other planet. I know, I realize, so spiritual that you don't ever have thoughts of getting with somebody that's irritating you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, there's a couple honest folks here. And it may be even in the home. Watch out. Don't throw any tomatoes up here. Things become irritants in the home and in the family when we're not a Holy Ghost filled like we need to be. It's not that we don't have or claim or possess the experience of the Holy Ghost. We're just not full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible does talk about being filled with the Spirit, folks. So it must mean that you can run empty if you got to be filled with the Spirit. And it talks about being renewed, so it must mean that you can at some point be depleted or lose through life circumstances and situations. You can lose, amen, you can lose what you need to be able to respond the appropriate way. Praise the Lord. And so it's important that we stay full of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking about, as we were preaching this last week, about Noah on that ark with all those animals. And I was thinking about all those animals on the boat. And there's no, I mean, you're talking about predators and then the very animals that those predators prey upon, all on that same boat together. Yet there's no record there's any fights. And I know this is a supernatural thing. I understand all of that. There's no records of any fights breaking out. But even these animals, through the help of God, realize there's only one boat. And the only way we can be saved is to be on this boat. So we better get along if we're going to be saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's only one church. And if we're going to be saved, we got to be in that church. And so we got to learn how, through the help of the Holy Ghost, to get along with one another and to appreciate one another and appreciate one another's differences and personalities and that sort of thing. Everybody's not going to be just like you. Everybody's not going to like everything you like. And just because they dislike some of the things you like doesn't make them weird or funny or different or whatever. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that. That's part of being mature and having a little bit of education. Amen. And understanding things. Some people are like porcupines. Got a lot of good points, but you can't get close to them. Anybody know any porcupines? Praise the Lord. But everybody has their purpose in the kingdom of God. And that's what we got to realize. They're all valuable. That's why God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Is there a soul that is valuable? Who am I to put any different appraisal upon that individual or that person? Amen? Who am I to judge that individual or that person? God judged them worthy to have the Holy Ghost. I can't go by my feelings and my emotions. I have to go by faith. And sometimes when I'm in a trial and in a dark place in my experience with God, then I really have to depend upon what I know about God and my relationship with God in the past and the testimony that I have of God and the knowledge that I have of His Word. That's what Job did when he was going through a dark place. He said, I may not be able to see God. The Bible said he went before and he went behind. He went to the left. He went to the right. He said, I couldn't find him anywhere. But there is one thing I know, he said. I'm still not shaken in my faith because I know my Redeemer lives. Praise the Lord. That's one thing that's constant. That's one thing that stays the same. Is I may not be able to find him. I may not be able to feel him like I'd like to. But I'm not going on my feelings. I'm going on what I know. And I know that my Redeemer lives. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to him again. And so we've talked about a couple of things here. But let's move on. We've got to conquer. We've got to conquer that sense, or we could relate it to one of these five kings and how that our senses are related to that, or I am in this Bible study using that as an analogy. And some may wonder where I'm coming from when I talk about a sense of taste. But you might remember the story of Elisha when he told those men to make a pot of stew or soup, and when they did, somebody sat down to eat it, and there was poison that was in the pot. And notice what Elisha did, what he commanded him to do. He said, I want you to put some meal in there. Mix some meal in it, and everything's going to be good. And I'd like to use this as a parallel with, we know that this represents meals, what's bread is made out of, and this represents to us, you and I tonight, for the sake of this sermon, the bread of life. Sometimes, and I'm coming back to the Word of God and the importance of it, sometimes when things that we, things in our lives doesn't taste good to us, and we take things in that, and life offers us things that sometimes it seems like is detrimental and it's not going well and it seems to be a poisoned situation or our life seems to be going in a negative direction. If we'll look into this word and we'll apply it to our situation, our problem, I'm telling you, the Bible tells me that there is no temptation but what is common to man. You say, well, my deal, it's an individual deal here, man. There ain't nobody had a problem like I've got. There is nobody that's went through what I'm going through. Well, I think if you search hard enough in this word, you can find something in this word that is applicable to where you are in your present day situation. I promise you that. There's no poison that God doesn't have an antidote for in the Word of God. I said there's no poison that you can't put the meal of the Word of God in there and expect God to bring healing to your situation. I'm going to tell you, this is like a balm to your soul. This is like a medicine to your spirit. when you get this word in you. Devil tries to destroy. Devil uses situations, maybe even people, to try to destroy. But you get enough word in you, you'll be able to respond appropriately. Praise God. The word of God is right. And that's why we need to hear it and respond to it. Mix our faith with the word of faith, the Bible says. Amen. And it'll give me the antidote that I need for the poison that the devil tries to place in my life. We know that in the Bible it talks about salt covenants. And actually that's where the word salary comes from, because in ancient days they paid one another in salt for deals were done, covenants were made, wages were paid through salt many times. And so that we use the word salary. And it actually is a root word from the word salt. And this was a covenant that was made, salt covenant that was made. God makes covenant with people through his word. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Have you ever heard the term that that person right there, maybe they're describing somebody that's a good worker or loyal or whatever to the company. They say, man, that person is worth their salt. You ever heard that? Amen. That means they're worth every dime you pay them. They're worth their salt. Well, let me just tell you something. God and his word is worth its salt. He makes a covenant with you and his word. He's going to stand behind it. He's good for it. He's not going to back off of it. Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to come through. Praise the Lord. That's the word of God. And it's true. And he is faithful to us in his word. Praise God. We can't allow things to poison our spirit. We got to put the word of God to it. And say, help me, God, to get this out. Because I can't afford for my spirit to be off. I can't afford for this to be detrimental to my soul being saved. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's easy when you're 20 to say, well, I don't know what the preacher's talking about something poisoning my spirit. I ain't never even been tempted in that area. Well, just keep living. It'll happen. Be something to come up. And you got to be willing to reject that. You can't live in an old fight and an old struggle and an old trial and relive it and rehash it and still be fighting it. Kind of like that parrot of Churchill's. He taught that parrot how to curse Hitler in the Third Reich. And I think it was actually Macaw Bird. And those things lived to be like 100 years old. Isn't that amazing? And this thing actually, after the war was over, was still cursing Hitler. Hitler's dead, and it's still cussing him out. And so Winston Churchill passes away. I mean, the bird outlived him. And this foul-mouthed, you guys are tired tonight, this bird and its poor language, the family didn't want it because they couldn't have their kids around it. So they took it to a pet shop. And he thought, man, this would be great. You know, first of all, it belonged to Winston Churchill. That would be good for advertisement for my place. And, you know, a talking bird. But it was so filthy-mouthed that when the little kids come in to buy a puppy, their parents were having to clamp their hands over their ears. He said, man, I can't have this. It's going to run everybody off. So he got rid of the bird. And they said, till the day that bird died, and I think it was over 100 years old, until the day it died, it was still cursing Hitler. I mean, it had been decades since the war had been over, the fight had been won, and it was still living in that time. You can't do that. You got to reject that. Amen. You can't allow, again, you can't allow something you've taken in to, you can't allow that to affect your spirit. Jesus on the cross, the Bible says that they brought to him the bitter drink of vinegar and gall, which was a sedative of sorts, but it was very bitter for taste. And the scripture says that he spat it out. In other words, he refused to receive it. He refused to take it in. You must be willing to reject bitterness if you're going to have the blessings of God. Amen. You've got to prefer the blessings of God over bitterness. And there's going to be a time when it feels good, to feel that way. It feels good to give in to those feelings. It feels good to let yourself kind of go like that and to be able to make a few statements and remarks about a situation. But you better reject that. You better reject that. And remember, I need the Word of God. I got to take in the Word of God. I got to take in the Word of God. Heard one man say, and I totally agree. He said Paul's secret was he did have a thorn in the flesh, but he didn't let the thorn in the flesh become a thorn in his spirit. And how true that is if we're going to live a victorious life. We may have some trials. We may have some situations, but we can't let them get in our spirit and affect our spirit. There's some thorns that we may have to learn to live with, but we can't let them get in our spirit. Can you say praise the Lord? They say that, I think it's the city of Philadelphia, talking about Philadelphia on the east coast of America, that 10% of their garbage, they convert it into power to run the city. 10% of just the refuse and garbage. They recycle it and make it into power. Amen. You know, pain that the devil tries to put in our life, we ought to try to convert that into power and living for God and serving God and doing the will of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands with me as we stand together? Come on, let's give some praise to the Lord. Let's give some worship unto the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I give you the praise. I give you the praise. Hallelujah. We need the help of the Holy Ghost. We need the strength of God. Amen. Sometimes when I am the weakest, it's when He's the strongest, meaning in my flesh. When I feel like I'm most in control, often He's not in control. Right? And the Bible talks about those great heroes in Hebrews 11, but I mean every one of them. It gives you their epitaph and tells you about them. And you find that there was some great, they've seen some great victories and they've seen God do some amazing things. They're dead brought back to life and they saw great progress and great victories won. But in every instance, there was a situation, there was a trial, there was something that come against them that gave them the testimony that God is able to give you the victory. And that's where that verse is, where it says, out of weakness we're made strong. Praise God. We can wax valiant, the Bible said, in the fight. Praise the Lord. We can get stronger, not weaker as time goes on, in other words. You see, it's the devil's ploy to try to weaken you down, weaken you down, weaken you down till you give out, give up, quit, whatever. But he don't understand. This is making me stronger. I'm waxing valiant in the fight. My faith is getting stronger. My reliance on God is getting stronger. My ability to rise above is getting stronger. Hallelujah. Going to get back up. Going to come to the surface again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we gotta keep a good, wholesome prayer life in order to stay renewed in the Holy Ghost. I believe we're going to have some great services this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I'll remind you of those. let's be prepared in our hearts for what God's going to do. And the next time we come together for Bible study, perhaps I'll finish this. But you know what? I think God is helping me and helping us and helping you and through His Word, just maybe not getting all hurried up to finish a sermon per se, but letting the voice of the Lord talk to us through His Word here tonight. Praise God. We need the Word of God to help us where we're at. And there's nothing about the Word of God that is not applicable to us today. It's not just some ancient history book that we look back at and say, well, whatever, whatever. But if He did it for them, He can do it for you, because the Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and for... Come on, help me now. And for... Praise God. Praise God. Give Him one more high praise before we leave here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you.